The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Take it away, my friend.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. I am Kurt Schlicker, retired United States Army colonel, noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, town hall senior columnist, author of the Kelly Turnbull series of conservative action novels. Let's get right into it, folks. This is going to be a tough day, and it's going to be a tough day mostly on Dwayne the producer. One arm in a blood pressure cup, the other hand hovering over the dump button, because I'm going to try my best to remain FCC compliant in the wake of one of the most disgraceful days in American history. Yesterday was an abomination on every level, a failure so complete it puts other failures to shame. It's hard to articulate, folks, how bad what we're seeing is. The complete destruction of American credibility. But more than that, the complete betrayal of Americans. Now, Joe Biden, our alleged president, staggered out to the podium yesterday. We are going to go through his speech, this bizarre collection of contradictions, distractions, tangents, and lies in great and painful detail. But we're also going to talk about what this is doing, particularly to the military, because that's kind of my bailiwick. Again, 27 years active in reserve. I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I served in Kosovo after 9/11. I did not go to Afghanistan. I have some distance from it. I have some. I think I can be objective, and I think I can tell you what should happen as a graduate of the United States Army War College. I look at this thing, and I am embarrassed for the institution that I loved. But more importantly, I am I'm afraid for it. I am afraid for the United States military. 30 years ago, I was there at the peak of American military power when America was unchallenged in the wake of the destruction of the Iraqi army in 100 hours in Operation Desert Storm. And at that moment, our enemies looked at us, and ladies and gentlemen, they felt nothing but gnawing terror in their guts. And today, 30 years later, as we are chased out of Kabul by a bunch of 7th century banditos, having left American soldiers, having left American dogs to the tender mercies of these savages, their guts are quaking with laughter. They are laughing at us. In North Korea, Kim is restarting the reactor. In China, they're looking at Taiwan and going, see, where's your American protectors now? In Iran, the mullahs are high-fiving. Our enemies are celebrating today because of what Joe Biden and the failed foreign policy establishment did. But I want to talk particularly about our military, and I want to hear from you because I have been hearing an earful from our military about what this is doing to our military. 800-520-1234. If you are a military, call in. Don't tell me your name. Don't tell me your unit. And I will know if you're not military. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you think. I've got a bunch of messages from military folks. I'll be reading some of them later. And they are heartbreaking. And interestingly, these are not junior folks. Notice how, and you saw, it was almost all junior folks who were killed in that miserable failure in Kabul. It was all junior folks. I look at it, I'm like, I don't know who was on the wounded list. I didn't see their ranks. Were there any officers? I didn't see it. It raised a question to me. Don't know what was going on. I don't know the facts. I just saw, where's the lieutenant? Where's the captain? Don't know what was happening. But the messages I've been getting have been from mid-level non-commissioned officers and mid-level officers, field grades, majors, colonels, And folks, the stuff is heartbreaking. We will talk about them. We will read them. And again, I want to hear your stories. If you are American military and you have questions, 800-520-1234. Our military is being broken because our commander in chief is broken. Let's start off with this guy's speech. Now, Hugh refused to watch it. And I think that's kind of an earth-shattering event. I have listened to Hugh Hewitt for almost 20 years, pretty much every day. Part of my morning ritual. And to hear him say, I'm not going to listen to Biden's speech because I just can't even, to me was stunning. And it was also terrifying because I realized I would have to, because I was going to be covering today. So I've jumped on that grenade for you. I gave more sacrifice listening to that than I ever did running an armed car wash in the military. It was terrible. It was lies built on deceptions, built on distractions, built on tangents. And it raises the question, is Joe Biden stupid or does he just think we are stupid? You know, my favorite part is, I'd like to praise the intelligence community. Oh, wait, he shouted. It was, I'd like to praise the intelligence community. They did a great job. Also, no one saw this coming. Wait a minute. The trial lawyer in me would love a chance to cross-examine this guy. But I could just see the judge say, Mr. Schlichter, would you please not be so hard on this obviously weakened and decrepit old man? Let's play cut number one, or at least start it.
Last night in Kabul, the United States ended 20 years of war in Afghanistan.
Stop right there.
The longest war.
Stop right there. Yesterday, we ended the war in Afghanistan. Who thinks it's over? Do the hundreds of American citizens and even more green card holders think it's over? Do the dogs think it's over? Do you think it's over? Do you think it's done? Do you think mission accomplished? America's longest war. Really? Really? Because he hasn't heard of the Indian Wars. But I guess he hasn't heard of Korea. Yeah, we haven't been shooting since the late 60s. Remember, we were in a low-grade war in Korea for about 20 years after the armistice. But our guys are still there on alert. So America's longest war. And you ended it? You didn't end it. You lost it. Let's go on.
The longest war in American history. We completed one of the biggest airlifts in history with more than 120,000 people evacuated to safety. That number is more than double.
Stop. I can't. Okay. Yes, Dwayne, you haven't completed anything. You have not finished. You promised to finish. You promised you would finish. And you didn't. And you didn't. And you are celebrating. You expect us to. Are we supposed to be popping the champagne? Okay, let's think this through. Is this something we should be celebrating? Is it good that your series of tactical missteps, that the newest, as a command sergeant major told me, sir, the newest second lieutenant wouldn't screw up this bad, and he used command sergeant major language, which I can't use because it's not FCC compliant. And me, not one to counter contradict a senior non-commissioned officer, but I said, look, Sergeant Major, the newest Girl Scout recruit could have planned a better operation than this. I did nothing but planning as an officer. That is the primary, one of the primary functions of an officer. Officer, plan and execute. And I look at this, and guys, I am baffled. I am baffled. Was there a plan here? Let me give you a little giveaway. When we were told we're sending in 3,000 troops and then another 1,000, then another 2,000, that's a giveaway. What's the giveaway? They're talking numbers. They're not talking units. Okay? If you told me I am sending in two battalions and their support slice, I would know what the capabilities are, and I would know, okay, they've thought this through. They know what the mission is. They've got a plan. When you say 1,000, that's propaganda. A number means almost nothing in terms of deployment. Yeah, you got to know that number for logistics, but that's not the key number. Units are the number. Giveaway to Amateur Hour. We'll be talking much, much more about this. If you're military, I want to hear from you. 800-520-1234. This is Kurt Schlichter, guest hosting for the great Hugh Hewitt. Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. It's always a pleasure to do the Hugh Hewitt radio program here in the Relief Factor studio in beautiful Southern California. Today's a painful day. Today's a painful day because we are at the nadir of American power. I was there at the pinnacle. I was there with 7 Corps main headquarters during Desert Storm when America was unchallenged. And now I'm here at home watching television as our president abandons American citizens, green card holders, and even service dogs. I can't even. Who am I? I'm the senior columnist for townhall.com. I am a noted Los Angeles trial lawyer. I'm retired United States Army colonel. I am also a author of the Kelly Turnbull series of conservative novels. The latest one is The Split. You should check it out. Let's get right to our next guest, Tom Sauer of Miramar Recovery. Tom is a friend and a client. He is also a graduate of the Naval War. The Naval Academy, and served many years on active duty, and is still in touch as a Naval Academy graduate with a lot of mid-level to senior level naval officers, and he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on. There's a lot to talk about with Tom today. Tom, how are you doing at ODARK 30?
I'm doing pretty great, Kurt. Yeah, up and early, just got back from the East Coast from our mutual friend Will Chamberlain's wedding. Had a great time. And now I'm up and at him talking to you. And we got the gym at 5 a.m., so we're working hard here.
Well, look, you're keeping going, and these are great habits you build at the Naval Academy. You also build a lot of friends, friendships, and a network. What are you hearing from active duty folks about their feelings about this disaster and the disastrous military leadership we have currently?
It's absolute fury and anger, I can tell you right now. And also, this is coming from many friends of mine who I am not politically aligned with. We're talking about friends of mine who are either active duty or who are recently out who are no fan of President Trump. And even these guys are absolutely livid. I mean, I got friends of mine who have texted me and said, "Hey, Tom, I know I'm eating a giant plate of crow." Well, they didn't call it crow. But, they're absolutely livid right now what's happening. And it isn't so much the fact that we left. It's how it was executed, how it was botched, the actual execution of this withdrawal from Afghanistan.
And I think that's important, Tom Sauer, to distinguish between the strategy, which you and I agree with, which was to generally disengage from Afghanistan and active combat operations, except where absolutely necessary. That was the strategy. And yesterday, you've got President Asterisk out there pretending that he's the guy fighting for the strategy that both political nominees in 2020 agreed with. This was a question of tactics, how you implement the strategy. How mad are these guys about this total failure of military planning?
I actually have friends of mine who are currently on active duty who have told me that, like, their actual, and these are guys who are very stable psychologically, and they say that their own mental health is struggling and they're dealing with it. Anxiety, heart palpitations, because they got guys and some of their former interpreters or friends of friends who are out there who are stuck in that country, who are stuck there today, right now, and they've spent day and night all week for the previous past week, weekend, talking to all their contacts in the intelligence community, trying to vet people who say that they can evacuate people, who some of them might be scammers themselves, doing everything they can on Signal, talking to their friends in special operations, intelligence, in the private sector, trying to get people out because at least they feel like they're doing something to correct for the absolute just disaster of withdrawal plan. Last I checked, you don't need to go to the war college to know that, hey, if you're going to pull out of there, get the vulnerable people out first. Keep the military in place and then withdraw the military. Instead, we did the exact opposite order, and look what we have now.
Tom Sauer, you served for years in the United States Navy. We have a president who promised that he would leave no one behind, and in fact, he left American citizens, green card holders, even service dogs behind. How is that resonating with the military folks that you're in contact with?
I haven't heard a single person, even those who were in favor of Joe Biden becoming president, because there are some out there, believe it or not. I haven't heard a single positive thing. And I haven't heard a single positive thing or even anything less than, I mean, it's absolute demoralization. And that, you know, that Lieutenant Colonel, Colonel Scheller out there who,
right.
you know, he might have been pretty emotional and obviously he had some thoughts, but I'll tell you what, you close doors where people aren't in public or aren't putting themselves on YouTube, is the sentiment at, is at least as bad. But the thing is, they can't say anything. And some of these guys are trying to work hard. For example, my own little brother is currently at another location in the Middle East and was part of the folks who were processing incoming flights, flights that came in from Kabul, and then processing them and getting them back to the States. And no matter how you feel about the refugees situation, is he was trying to do his best helping, and these were mostly almost all women and children that he was trying to process and get them out. And he looks at it like, what an absolute disaster. There's complete chaos. Nobody knows what's going on. And he was just doing his damnedest just to at least help some of these poor people. And it's just, everyone knows that we're just cleaning up a giant mess that largely could have been prevented.
Tom Sauer, look, in civilian life, you're the founder of Miramar Recovery here in Southern California. You're a client of my right. law firm to be, and you're a friend, so I know you, but you help a lot of veterans. How is this disaster in Afghanistan affecting veterans who are already at risk, the ones you deal with every day?
The folks that we have, I've got right now over a dozen veterans who are already suffering from mental health issues ranging from PTSD, depression, and of course addiction as well, because those things usually go hand yep. in hand. Is I had to make special phone calls. I mean, you know, I'm not a physician, I'm not a clinician, I'm a naval officer, right? So I'm looking at it from solving problems.
Roger.
And I'm making phone calls to my therapist, my clinical director, say, hey guys, I know that we don't try to stay too dialed in on the news around there because when you're in our facility, we try to limit social media and what's going on in the outside world, but they still know. They still know what's going on. And, hey, guys, this could be, you know, we don't like to use the woke term, but triggering, truly, and justifiably so for a lot of folks, where it's people are saying that, hey, why do we do this? Is this all for nothing? And you and I know I have friends who don't have their legs, who are in wheelchairs, who've had their eyeballs blown out, and many of whom aren't around anymore. And, you know, a lot of times I've already been reaching out to plenty of those guys. And sometimes you got to reach out to the families too, because my friends aren't around anymore. And it's this whole thing, was this all in vain? And right now, the feeling is that, yeah, it probably was.
Well, you know,
it's already come back to normal.
Well, Tom, I think we need to emphasize to the troops who did the actual fighting, to troops who did the actual sacrifice, that their sacrifices were not in vain, that the American people appreciate them, that we recognize them, that we hear them, and that we are going to hold the failed leadership accountable. Leadership is a key issue, Tom Sauer. As you know, you were an officer in the United States Navy. I was an officer in the United States Army. I have been hearing from a lot of people currently serving. One thing they bring up again and again is the vaccine mandate. Now, look, I am pro-vaccine. I have had the vaccine. And I look at this not as our troops are somehow these knuckle-dragging anti-vaxxers. I look at it as an indictment of our military leadership, that the military leadership's word is not being trusted, that this is that vaccine resistance is actually a way to demonstrate dissatisfaction with the sorry state of senior military leadership. Because I like to think that if Colonel Schlichter stood in front of his squadron and got the vaccine, the vast majority of my guys would go, well, if the boss does it, it's probably okay for me. What do you think? How do you feel about that?
You know, I agree. I'm definitely pro-vaccine for those that need it.
Correct.
Actually, I mean, so
yes.
My own mother got it. I think that's the right thing to do. And also, I'm seeing this resistance because there is a failure of leadership and trust.
I think it's all leadership. All leadership.
Yeah, we had a mutual friend who was considering pushing back against it, and they're like, are there groups within the active duty they're forming? And I pushed back. I said, hey, guys, they've pumped us full of all sorts of crap, right?
Yes. You know, we're immune to everything, Tom. Smallpox, you name, because I did, you know what I did in the military early on. I did, special stuff and right. Running the heavily armed car wash. I'm immune to a lot of stuff, but right. I just think that they chose the troops are choosing this one because they don't trust their leaders and they want to make a statement.
Yeah, it is. It's less so about the vaccine itself and more about this. Hey, I don't trust you. Why are you making this happen? It seems very, very political. And I would be willing to bet, Kurt, that had the election of 2020 gone a little different and President Trump was in the middle of his second term right now. I don't think that if you would be seeing a lot of pushback among folks on the left, because if you remember, you can
tweet,
and you can see nobody's going to trust this vaccine. I think Kamala Harris even said, like, I wouldn't get the vaccine. And now it's completely flipped. However, I tell you right now, you'd see folks on the right, with there's a little bit of a trust factor right there, who would be getting the vaccine. However, you wouldn't see folks on the right mandating it, saying you can't go anywhere.
Exactly. Thank you, Tom Sauer of Miramar Recovery. This is the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. We have a lot more to come. Please stick around. We're back on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. I'm Kurt Schlichter, guest hosting for the great Hugh Hewitt, retired United States Army Colonel, active in reserve, senior columnist at townhall.com, noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, author of various books, which you can check out. We're talking about Afghanistan right now. We're talking about guys, you got to understand, I spent 27 years in the military. I love the Army. Or I love what the Army was. I don't recognize what it is today. And it's heartbreaking for me. And it's heartbreaking for a lot of other guys and gals who served too and who are still serving. You look at the disaster in Afghanistan and you think, what the hell were these people thinking? And the only conclusion I can come to is that they weren't thinking at all. Mary Beth Long is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs, but that's not all she does. She does many things. Mary Beth Long, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. Can you sketch out your very impressive bio for the listeners?
Well, that's very kind of you. I first spent about the decade and a half at CIA as an operations officer abroad. I then became a litigation lawyer at Williams & Connolly, and after that I joined the Department of Defense and had a number of roles, some of which included me building the Afghan National Police and several other programs in Afghanistan. I was a frequent visitor, and not like people in uniform like you who served there. Thank you very much.
Oh, I didn't serve in Afghanistan. I was in other places, sadly enough, but I think I have a little emotional distance, but you were right there in the middle of it. How does this, can you tell the audience how seeing this makes you feel after investing so much of your life in this mission?
I have to tell you, I had an existential moment where I determined that I had spent 20 years serving my country and I don't recognize it anymore.
I feel the same way, Mary Beth Long, and I don't recognize my military. Does this you worked in the Pentagon? What the hell has happened?
Let me tell your listeners what happened and what Jake Sullivan and the president aren't telling you as they victim blame, and tell you listeners that these people were warned 19 times. They were warned based off of a State Department list that everyone knew from the beginning was incomplete. Let's be clear. In the 200-plus years of this country, we have never left American citizens behind. Many of the people that I personally were working with were called to that airport for the fourth or fifth time and turned away. When they went on Saturday and Sunday, they went and stayed. And people in that airport, military, and State Department, because we called the State Department and we called the Department of Defense, they stood there and waved their American passports, screaming, "We are Americans." And there's actually a text message of a colonel inside who knew that there were American citizens waving their blue passports outside the gates for hours. And those gates were never opened, listeners. They called them to the airport. They never opened the gates. We willingly left American citizens screaming outside the airport, waving their passengers when we went wheels up. That is nothing short of disgusting. That is betrayal.
Mary Beth Long, it makes me sick to my stomach to see this. I know the troops at the pointy end of the spear. You saw the video of them lifting babies over the wall. You know, that probably wasn't something that their officers were happy about. luckily, there wasn't much they could do about it because it was caught on film. I look at that disaster at the airport that killed 13 people. And look, I was just a simple infantry colonel. I wasn't some general or something. But I knew something about chain of command. Who was in charge at the airport? Who was the person in command at the airport? Was it a State Department person? Was it the 82nd Airborne General? Was there even a chain of command at the airport? Or did this violate every basic principle of military leadership and operational execution that I ever learned in 27 years?
It absolutely did. And let me tell you, God, I feel for those men and women who were at the pointiest end of the spear, the Marines, the 82nd, yep, all those who lifted the babies.
Yep.
They were given no choice. They were very clear. We talked on the phone to many of them. They were not authorized to allow American citizens in. We had Marines get on the phone with us and beg us to get them authorization because a pregnant American citizen had been there for 19 hours out in the sun. She was not moving and going through that Taliban gauntlet again by being forced to leave the airport and come back. We were told that the military needed the authorization from the State Department, but at the end of the day, you and I both know that this is Secretary Austin and Joint Chief Staff Mark Milley's, at the end of the day, had to give the authorization, whether it was from the State Department or elsewhere. Not only did we leave those citizens, but we left many of our men and women in uniform who were on those gates looking down in psychological trauma. We had several of them tell us that this was worse PTSD than they had had in Iraq, standing there and watching us walk away from American citizens.
Well, Mary Beth Long, I look at this and I remember I was taught by the guys who rebuilt the military after Vietnam, and I saw it pay off as a lieutenant in Desert Storm at 7 Corps, Maine. And one of the things I was taught was the importance of senior leaders. They can't say no, but they can say I quit and precipitate a political crisis. That is their big red button. They can throw their career away knowing it's going to draw the attention and the political debate of terrible decisions. And I am wondering why General Milley, who apparently served honorably as a young soldier, who apparently was a good battalion commander and is a damn disgrace as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, why his stars aren't on the Resolute desk when Joe Biden said, you've got to do things that'll make you leave Bagram. He said, sir, I can't disobey your order, but I can quit. Why the hell did no one quit? Why the hell is no one being held accountable? I don't get it.
No, it's worse than that. We're blaming American citizens. We're telling them that we warned you. It's worse than that. Listen, I called for the resignation of the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman last week. One of two things have happened, and we learned this from General Mattis. Either you gave the president advice and he went ahead and he ignored it, then you should resign because your president is no longer listening to you. Or you didn't give him the advice. You didn't throw it on the line and say, I'm not doing this, which would result in your resignation as well. The honorable thing to do would have been resigned either way, and neither of them have. Nor have they spoken out and admitted that they knew. I called the Office of the Secretary of Defense for policy, and they knew there were American citizens that were at the gates, at the airport, waiting to get in or nearby, and they left anyway.
You listen to this and you can't believe it's our country. And you know, Americans, for at least the last 30 years, have done nothing but support troops. The vast majority of my career in the military, I spent people coming and shaking my hands in the airport, thanking me for my service, not realizing that as a colonel, I accomplished and contributed nothing. But the American people love their military. And this disaster is a wake-up call. And I think it's so important, Mary Beth Long, that you know, people like you and I who were on the inside and understand that there is a distinction between the great men and women in the junior ranks who are doing the real work and the senior leaders who are failing utterly and completely. This nonsense, you know, when you have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs Staff who can't decide whether America's greatest threat is the weather or Americans who voted for Donald Trump. And we're facing crises in Afghanistan. Now, North Korea, the reactor starting again. Of course, there's China and Taiwan. The mullahs. It shows a lack of seriousness. It shows a frivolous and it show, frivolousness. And it shows a sickening sycophancy for a failed president. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And first of all, let me, and I'm sure I join your listeners in thanking you for your service.
You're I did nothing.
Humble, very kind.
There are real heroes out there. I'm just a guy who showed up.
Mm-hmm. That's not true, I'm sure. But I have, when I joined DOD and the Pentagon, I learned the most tremendous respect for our men and women in uniform. They are as good as it gets, just here, but worldwide. This is a failure of leadership. This is a politicization of those leaders in their positions. I don't know where their courage, where their discipline, as you well know, everyone knows that you have a secure perimeter around an airport or any other place where you are. And that was the mistake from the beginning. And then to go and blame Americans who tried to get inside that perimeter and often were inside despite being beaten, despite having to go through multiple Taliban checkpoints, and then to blame them. This is a failure of our leaders in the military, our leaders at state, and our national leadership. And everyone who's listening, who's ever been to an airport and had to fight through a mob, imagine that in a foreign country, in the sand, in the heat, with terrorists looking at your documents every day. How dare you blame those American citizens?
Thank you.
Be outraged.
Thank you so much, Mary Beth Long, for joining me on the Hugh Hewitt radio program today. I'm Kurt Schlichter. We're going to be right back. There's a lot more to come. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. It's Hugh Hewitt. I am not there today. As you've heard in earlier hours, I am traveling from East Coast to West. Kurt Schlichter is sitting in for me today, and I appreciate it, Colonel, very much. I do, however, want to do my job, which is to remind everyone AndrewandTodd.com are great sponsors of the program. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They lend you money, and they lend you money one way. It's just one simple reason, not one way. There are lots of ways to lend you money. They can give you a 30-year, a 15-year, a 10-year mortgage. They can give you an adjustable, a fixed, a VA. They can do a reverse mortgage for senior citizens 62 years and older. They can do anything. It's all real estate residential lending. And the thing you have to do is go to AndrewandTodd.com, answer a couple of questions, or give them a call at 888-888-1172. They'll take it from there. And if you're worried about your credit and you're worried about paying rent that's going up every single year, then call them and tell them. They've seen it all. They've fixed it all. They handed it all. They are the people to talk to. AndrewandTodd.com. Please don't wait another day. Home prices are not going anywhere but up. When you're done with that, go and get your relieffactor.com. First hour of the day, I always take it. I took it somewhere. I'm not there to take it today, but I'm here to tell you, don't forget it. Make sure you take it. Make sure you do what you got to do every single day, which is stay in the game, stay active. No matter how bad the news, no matter how grim the situation, no matter how uncomfortable it makes you feel, you got to get that exercise in. It could be 10 steps, might be for you a challenge. Maybe you're in rehab somewhere. Well, whatever it is, get it done. And if you're blessed by decent health and just minor aches and pains, put that aside, get up and go. You take a day off and off every now and then, that's fine. But you got to stay in the game and get those miles in every single day. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. I think you're going to like it a lot. Tens of thousands of people join me every day in the daily ritual of ReliefFactor.com. I hope you are among them. Come right back for more of Kurt Schlichter here on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Pleasure to be here at the Relief Factor Studio, sitting in for the great Hugh Hewitt on a very dark day in American history. We left Americans behind. I'll say it again. We left Americans behind. And when I say we, I mean our administration, because the mass of the American people is looking on this fiasco with utter disgust. I know I am. I'm a 27-year Army veteran. I'm a retired United States Army colonel. I am a noted trial lawyer. I'm a senior columnist at Town Hall, and I'm feeling sick to my stomach about this absolute disgrace. I'm bringing on Representative Mike Garcia, the number one target of Democrats around the country in California's 25th congressional district. He's a Navy fighter pilot as well. Congressman Garcia, what is the feeling in the Republican caucus about watching Americans left behind by this incompetent, corrupt, mendacious administration?
Hey, Kurt. Well, thanks for having me. I think it's the same feeling that every other American besides the one that's in the Oval Office is having. It's heartbreaking to watch. This is an atrocity at a level that I don't think we have seen come out of the White House in the history of our country. And to see a president perform with such a dereliction of duty and with intentional forethought being put into this withdrawal, knowing that this would leave behind Americans, heartbreaking is the kindest word you can give it. This is treason. This is an atrocity, and it's literally the president of the United States turning his back on Americans, and many of them kids, while knowingly leaving them behind. I just there's no words for it. And then to claim victory and to call this a success, it just makes you want to throw up. And it's like the captain of the Titanic taking credit for one of the largest maritime rescues the world has ever seen at this point. It's astounding that he's seeing this as a positive. And he hasn't ended an endless war. He's actually extended the global war on terror. We're going to see this come to roost in the form of an even larger threat now coming out of Afghanistan. It's put us in a more perilous position than we were even on September 10th of 2001. So, our feeling in Congress right now as Republicans is pretty much the same as any other American around the world. We're just disgusted by this.
Well, the question that the audience has for you, Representative Mike Gallagher of the 25th District of California, is even though you guys are in the minority in the House, what are Republicans going to do? Oh, I'm sorry, Garcia. I'm sorry, Mike Gallagher. Wrong guy who begins with it. Right. He's Marine. You're Navy. Oh my gosh! I've now doubled. I've doubled down. Mike Garcia.
Yep. Well, so we've got to hold this administration accountable.
But how do we do that?
I've been calling for his resignation. There's going to be calls for impeachment. There's different flavors of hell, and there's another hell called Kamala Harris as the president. So we got to be pretty careful about that.
Well, here's the thing, Mike Garcia. Mm-hmm. Our people, look, we're making a lot of calls. Is there anything we can actually do? And I think that would require some Democrats saying, I just can't go on with this anymore. Is there any indication that Nancy Pelosi's stranglehold on the House, which is, 3 to 5 seats, will be broken over this, such as there will be some accountability, or do we have to wait till 2022?
Yeah, no, I don't see anyone breaking ranks to the point where they're going to be supporting something like an impeachment.
How about an investigation?
Investigations. I think there's going to be inquiries. I think both sides of the aisle are pretty adamant about the fact that we've got to figure out what went wrong. It doesn't take a lot of forensics to figure out the why this was such a terrible operation and where it went wrong. It comes from the White House, right? The bottom line is that this president from day one wanted to treat this like a diplomatic mission. He didn't want the military involved, and despite how dangerous it became and how we got painted into a corner, he never pivoted to handing the keys over to the Department of Defense. And he, all the way until the end, wanted to treat this like a diplomatic mission, which is why we end up with deals like we did with the Taliban.
Well, Mike Garcia, if we had handed it over to the military, what evidence is there that they would have been able to, the senior military leadership would have been able to competently handle it? Because I don't know about you. You were a Navy fighter pilot. You flew over Iraq. I was Army. I don't recognize our military. It's not the one I came up in. it's a different one, and it's a much worse one. Am I off base?
Yeah, I think I think that's somewhat off base. I think the warriors, the 05 and below within the officer ranks, and then the vast majority of the enlisted ranks is still the same force that we knew that we were part of. They're disgusted by this. They don't recognize their own leadership. But I do think the generals, and in this case, Milley as well as Secretary Austin, have lost their way. They've lost their warrior spirit, their loyalty to the Constitution as well as to the warfighter, and they've become politicians. And then they unfortunately were making the decisions. But I do have great faith in our military personnel, and I have great faith with the commanders on the ground all the way through the ranks to be able to execute. And if they were just given the mission, if they were just given the opportunity to do what was needed to be done from an operational perspective, they would have been successful, and we would not have seen this. And ultimately, had Biden just come off of this 8/31 date and then rather making the time frame the imperative, making sure that getting all Americans out was the imperative and the ultimate mission, we would have been successful had it been transitioned over to the Department of Defense. So, but yes, the folks in the Pentagon, the folks who have been appointed by this administration have lost the warrior spirit. They've lost their way. They don't understand where their loyalties lie, except for the guy that's completely demented in the White House right now. And that's a very dangerous place for the military to follow.
Well, Congressman Mike Garcia, I'm not sure I fully agree with you. I think the military, especially senior leadership, is in very dire straits. I don't believe this is the same military that you and I both served in, which was the unchallenged superpower in the world. I believe we're vulnerable. I'm wondering if there's a sense that the Republicans, when you take back the House in 2023, which I think is going to happen, and we in a moment we're going to talk about your particular race, which is the number one race in the country. I think military leaders like you, guys who are veterans, are going to have to take the lead to our civilian representatives who are still enthralled with all the medals and the uniforms, and that they need to hold, as civilian leaders, they need to hold the military accountable, and I mean harshly. And I mean getting rid of generals. I mean retiring them at ranks, not that they currently hold, but at ranks where they last served competently. General Milley has not served competently as a four-star general. He should not be retired as a four-star general. We need to make this point. They left Americans behind. He didn't resign, so he bought into it. Am I off base?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I agree with what you're saying. I agree with the fact that we are more vulnerable because of that. I just don't think it applies to the lower ranks, to the lieutenant.
I agree with that.
Below are out there stroking hard every day.
I agree with that.
But yeah, I think we need to prosecute these guys with extreme prejudice. They have done this. They are responsible for this. And at some point, you can't just blame the commander in chief. You have to blame the personnel below him who didn't have the backbone to assert themselves. And that is literally their job, to assert themselves. When they see something going sideways, make recommendations and pound on the desk and say, "Mr. President, you know, we need to do this differently, and here's how we're going to do it." And that frankly didn't happen. They rolled over. They were complicit within all of this. And yes, we need to hold them accountable. And when we get the House back, we will. I have no doubt about that. There's a lot of pissed off veterans right now on both sides of the aisle, and there's a large chunk of us on the Republican side that are chomping at the bit here to get this sorted out.
Well, very quickly, taking back the House means saving our seat in the 25th district, your seat.
That's right.
And Democrats are aiming at you. You took what had been held by a Democrat. And they're coming at you. I get your opponents fundraising emails every single day as part of my Know Your Enemy program. How can we help you, Congressman Mike Garcia, fight back against the liberal onslaught?
Well, you can support me at electmikegarcia.com. We need all the money we can get. Pelosi spent about $25 million against me in the last cycle, and she's coming at me again. So electmikegarcia.com. Pay attention and get get all Americans to vote for candidates that actually care about the
country. You very much, Mike Garcia.
Thanks,
support
sir.
Him. I will. This is the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program.
There is no one who can tell a lie like me. You can search until you tire. You won't find a bigger liar. I've been lying since the dawn of history. Sing it out now.
We're back on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. I am Kurt Schlichter, retired United States Army colonel, noted trial lawyer, senior columnist at townhall.com, author of the Kelly Turnbull series of conservative novels, which you should check out. That Irish folk tune can only mean that my very good friend and noted military historian Michael Walsh is joining us from the road. Michael is the author of Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost, which you must read. Michael, what do you think of this disastrous situation?
Top of the morning to you. It's great to be on now with all the American friends. Good Lord, it's about time for me to pull the ripcord and go back to Ireland for good, I think. We got a real problem here. I want to start by just saying something that shows how sadly we've changed in the last, half century or so. When I was a boy growing up in a Marine Corps household, which people will discover quickly if and when they read Last Stands, my parents never voted. And I only found that out many years later when I asked my mother, who did you vote for in whatever election it was, Kennedy, Nixon, probably in 60. And she said, we never voted. And I was stunned by that. And then she said, Marine officers don't vote. And that shows you how unpoliticized the Marine Corps was. I can't speak for the other services in those days. And now we have so thoroughly and ruinously politicize our military, which you have firsthand experience of. I don't see that there's any coming back from this. We are accordingly at a new disgraceful all-time low in the history of this country.
Well, Michael Walsh, I disagree with you, which I rarely do, and we talk often. The military is a hierarchic organization. Soldiers do what the commander checks. Right now, the commander is checking wokeness and climate change and blind, slavish support for a specific administration. I believe that a new president, perhaps a President DeSantis, could, in fact, by the application of attention, because a president's, and just like a commander's, time is his greatest, most potent resource, could prioritize war fighting, and then we would see the military rapidly conform to a war fighting mindset. Do you see any historical parallels to this?
I don't know. Everything is somehow new and old again. I've been thinking over these last past two horrific weeks, and let's not sugarcoat this in any way, and let's not let the media get away with sugarcoating, because if there's anybody who doesn't understand the military, it's today's media, but that's a whole nother topic. We were talking, you and I, privately the other day about how sometimes the military will overrule the commander-in-chief, and not just in the United States, but throughout history, will go off on its own toot for better or worse results. Certainly, as you know, Julius Caesar, after sitting there looking across the Alps at Gaul, decided against the wishes of the Romans to go off and conquer Gaul, which he did. He came back 10 years later with a whole new Roman province. Ulysses S. Grant would meet with President Lincoln, once appointed commander-in-chief of all the armies of the United States, and say no. When Lincoln would say, why don't you try this? And Grant would say, no, I know what I'm doing. You know, either keep me in the field, or as he once said, I prepare to stay here all summer and fight it out on this line. Lincoln would say, all right. But the rollover by the military, which acquiesced in this disgrace, I think it's just a new stupefying low for the United States of America.
Well, Michael Walsh, civil military relations have been, you know, for 250 years have been turned on their heads by General Mark Milley's disgraceful behavior of President Trump last year, where he expressly jumped on a political bandwagon. He continued it this year by glomming on to this white rage CRT nonsense. He has damaged. I don't think he's completely destroyed it, because I think it can be restored. But he has grievously damaged that relationship. And what you're talking about is a military that in a proper form has unofficial ways of kind of slow walking the president. But they also have essentially the big red button, which is ripping those stars off his shoulder boards, throwing them on the Resolute desk and saying, "I quit," thereby precipitating a political firestorm, because that's what it would cause. And I think leaving Americans behind in another country, which was the order of the civilian leadership, is one of those "here are my stars" moments.
Yes, well, Milley is a very great villain. There's no question.
Oh, disaster.
He'll go down in history as the worst, maybe the worst man ever to put on a uniform, because he is
terrible.
So supine and so his nose is so close to the throne here. You almost think he's a character out of a comedy remake of 7 Days in May. You know, the Burt Lancaster. Strutting general as if he, but he was wearing, you know,
James Mattoon Smith, was that it?
Yeah, General Mattoon. Well, imagine, you know, as Mark said, first time tragedy, second time farce. We're the farce part, but don't underestimate America. How awful General Milley is. He has violated
terrible.
Just about every tenet of tradition and oath. He should be cashiered, but he won't, because the president obviously is enjoying what he's doing to this country. The American people should never forget this man and never let anyone like him come close to a chest full of fruit salad, that comic metal array that he's wearing for having done absolutely nothing. They should never let anyone like this get involved at the high level of the United States military again.
I look at General Milley, and by all accounts, as a junior officer, he served effectively and bravely. And as a battalion commander, he was apparently a good battalion commander as an 05. People in his battalion said so. And now he has been Peter principled to 4 stars and has failed in the most spectacular possible way. He is the worst chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the history of Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I propose that he be retired not at the 4-star level, but at the level where he served properly, which I don't know what it is, but I sure as hell know it ain't 4 stars.
Yeah, you know another enlisted man who served bravely and got a the highest level of commendation? Adolf Hitler. That's who served bravely in World War One and received the Iron Cross. Just because these guys can fight doesn't mean they're patriots, and it doesn't mean they're even remotely devoted to the country for whom they're fighting. Sometimes they're fighting for themselves.
Well, his performance has been, by any objective standard, subpar. President Trump never should have allowed him to stay in that position after his disgraceful interference in political affairs during the Trump administration. And when he went along with the Bagram abandonment, he should have resigned. And again, that's the power the Joint Chief Chairman has. He's not in the chain of command. He's the president's number one military advisor. And the only thing he can do is precipitate a political firestorm by retiring. And it would be a political firestorm. Everyone would look. And that's all he can do. And there are times when you do. You remember John Singlob during the Carter administration, where General Singlob did not agree with Carter's idea to pull American forces out of South Korea. And that was a huge thing. And Singlob gave up his career. You have to give up your career. And if you won't, what good are you?
Well, if that's not a dereliction of duty, I don't know what is. But you're absolutely right that Milley could have put all 9 of his stars on the president's desk and said, I cannot in good patriotic or military purpose countenance this. But today's woke military is after advancement, and they're after those very lucrative advising contracts for military contractors after they retire. And the whole thing has become a gigantic racket, Kurt. And I think the American people have gotten, I hope, a wake-up call at how deep the rot goes. And the reason I began my appearance here today with my Marine Corps story is that those guys believed exactly what you were saying, that your allegiance is to the commander-in-chief, and you have two options, carry out that order or retire and resign. And right now we got neither.
You know, Michael Walsh is a military historian. You know that great powers don't win every war. If you look at Roman history, you know, we know of the great victories, you know, like Zama and all the rest. But we also know of their defeats, from Cannae to the Teutoburg Forest. Again and again, the Romans were defeated. They kept coming back. This is a defeat. Can we come back to?
Well, it's going to be hard because you mentioned Zama. That's the battle of which they finally ran Hannibal to ground after
yep.
he tortured them for
what, 15
decade.
Years?
Yeah, more than a decade, running up and down Italy and beating the bejesus out of them at Cannae and like Lake Trevi and Trebia.
Trebia.
The reason the Romans could come back, and this is another problem we have, is that their women were devoted to one thing and one thing only, the production of new legionaries. So they were able to lose whole legions, 3-4 at a time,
yep,
and come back 10 years later with a new generation of Roman soldiers.
Oh, it's less than 10 years. Oh,
yeah.
They put together new legions right away. America has taken a different path. And thank you, Michael Walsh. We've professionalized our military. We've made it very small. It's very elite when done properly. Maybe we need to rethink that. This is Kurt Schlichter sitting in for the great Hugh Hewitt. We'll be wrapping it up right after this.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.